back tonight to share with one another how he's been faithful to you. Really encourage you to give it some thought. Whether you decide to share it with us or not, I encourage you to give it a thought, all ages, of what has God done for you this year? How has he used your circumstances, his word, in a great way in your life, whether through hardship or whether through successes? We have a chance to verbalize that tonight, and I hope that you'll at least work toward sharing something, whether you have the courage or not. But we hope that you'll come and be a part of it either way. Didn't realize this. I guess I didn't pay attention in class, but that each year our President of the United States will make a proclamation. And this is one from last year. I'm not going to read all of it, but President Joseph R. Biden Jr. said, "Thanksgiving provides us with the time to reflect on many blessings from God, this nation, and each other. We're grateful for these blessings, even and especially during times of challenge. That is why George Washington declared a day of thanksgiving for his troops as they marched into the dark winter at Valley Forge. It is why, in the midst of the Civil War and proclaiming the Thanksgiving holiday we now celebrate today, Abraham Lincoln urged us to remember our fruitful fields and helpful skies, just as 400 years ago when the pilgrims were able to celebrate a successful first harvest thanks to the generosity and the support of the natives. Today we too express our gratitude for those who have helped us get through this past year." And then he goes on to say, "We're grateful for the farm workers and the frontline workers." He says, "We're grateful for the educators. We're grateful for the parents who have carried their families through the challenging times. We're grateful for healthcare professionals. We're grateful for researchers and scientists." And he says, "As always, we're grateful for our troops serving far from home, keeping us safe and defending our values." He then says, "Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority invested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim Thursday, November 25th, that was last year, 2021, as a National Day of Thanksgiving. I encourage the people of the United States of America to join together and give thanks for the friends, neighbors, family members, and strangers who have supported each other over the past year of goodwill and unity, in witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand this 24th day of November in the year of our Lord 2021, and of the independence of the United States of America 246. So I didn't realize that, but there's a proclamation in our scripture today. You'll see a proclamation of thanksgiving. And so I want you to turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a proclamation not from the President of the United States, but from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, from the true God of the Bible. And he doesn't just set forth one day, but he set forth every Lord's Day and all the days in between. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Pray with me, please. Oh, perfect Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For you are good. Your mercies endure forever, and your truth is everlasting. In your precious Son's name, Jesus our Lord. Amen. I got invited to a birthday party from a girl that was in the youth group of Mount Calvary. She's a Hispanic girl. It's her 15th birthday, and I'll try to say it right. It's her quinceañera. Somebody want to say it better for me? Quinceañera birthday. That's a very special birthday in the lives of the Hispanic community when you turn 15 for a girl. It's going from a girl to a young lady. This transitional birthday that they celebrate, the transition of going from a girl to a young lady, and it's really an amazing thing to participate in. I don't know if you've ever been able to be a part of one, but it's just magnificent. It's almost like you girls always kind of maybe watch the princess movies. She becomes a princess for the day, and they just love and celebrate her. And I don't know if y'all know this about me, but the church that y'all called me from had a Hispanic ministry. And I was very blessed by it. They were part of the church. They were members of Mount Calvary. We called them Monte Calvario. Many of the parents spoke just Spanish, and the children were bilingual. And I ministered to their families and ministered to the youth. They would go on trips with us. And some of the most blessed encouragement that I received in ministry during that time at Mount Calvary was what the Lord was doing in the Hispanic community, bringing them to Christ. And this particular girl, the Lord really grabbed a hold of in a mighty way and convicted her of her sin, and her older sister as well. And I had to sit down with them, and they had to translate as I was counseling their parents through what they were repenting. They had to translate me for their parents to understand what was going on. And it was, they had to tell their parents, kind of bring their sin to light. And it was just a powerful thing. And every time I ever get up to go to Mount Calvary, I try to swing by their little house on the way back home just to see if I could hug those two girls and see what the Lord's still doing in their life. So I'm going to try to go to her birthday party. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to try to. But with every invite, you can see this is fancy. I mean, it's got glitter and it's got this right here. There's several things that are true. And I think we'll find the same thing true. Not only is this a proclamation, but we are invited, really called, commanded. Invited kind of is a light word. But that there's kind of, you're called to, you kind of find out who's called. You're invited. So we're going to look at who's called to this, this celebration. How we're going to celebrate. And then why we're to celebrate. It's pretty simple with a birthday. You know kind of who you're celebrating and why you're celebrating them. But let's look at God's word as in regards to his celebration. So the first point of the sermon is God invites us to worship him. And that's, again, he calls us. He commands us to his worship. Look right here, and it says in verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Your translation might say all the earth. So who's invited to this? God invites all his creation to come and worship him. He commands all his creation to come and worship him with thanksgiving. Does all his creation do that willingly? No. Will they all do it? One day they will bend their knee and bow their head and proclaim Jesus and his greatness. But the one who is called, this all you earth, all you peoples, all you nations, all the things that walk, is a universal audience that's being called out here to make a joyful shout to the Lord and to serve the Lord with gladness. But then we see it kind of narrow down itself in verse 3. It says, we are his people, the sheep of his pastures. So you see that this is a calling. Obviously, God is going to be brought great glory through all that he's made. But all of it is not going to come with a thankful spirit. But you see it narrow itself down here that we are his people. We are the sheep of his pastures. And when it speaks of the fact of them being his people, his sheep, look at what it says here. It says, right in verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us. Now you see that the audience that's being called to his worship is all things, but specifically his people, to bring him thanksgiving and praise. This term, he was made, you think, okay, he's made us, that's why I should thank the Lord, I should praise him, and I should praise him because he's created me and he's created all things, and all things should praise him because he's created everything that walks this earth. But it says in the context that he made us, it says we are his people. And a lot of theologians, as they look at this psalm, is talking about this is more than just that God has created all things and all things should praise him and give him and give him thanksgiving for what he's done. It says here that when it uses the term he made us, it's in the context, it's saying he recreated us. There's a very specific calling here to God's people, to his sheep, to those who have not only been created that walk the earth, but those who've been redeemed. If you think of the history of Israel, they were redeemed, they were chosen, they were selected, they were brought in to be his people. They were purchased. And we see that here as well. For he made us, we are his people. He created us. And for the believer, there's a great call that we are invited to come into his courts, to come into his gates, to praise him. And we know that. We know that we are called. We know that we have the special invitation from the Lord, the special proclamation from the Lord to come into his presence to praise him and worship him. Is that how you approach it? Is that how you view every Sunday? That I have an opportunity to come into his courts, into his gates with thanksgiving. When I go see Lexi at her 15th birthday celebration, when I go see her, I'm coming to celebrate her. There's no question in my mind. I'll write her a card. I might put a little gift in there. I know why I'm driving there. I know why the whole purpose that I would be going up to the upstate to celebrate this. I know why. And there, this for us, we know why we gather. Because he made us. He didn't just create us and give us life and make our heart work and make our bodies work. He recreated us in the context of making us his people. Adopting us into his family. We are his people. The second aspect of this is God tells us how he wants his people to worship him, doesn't he? It's called the regulative principle of worship. We call it, we say that we want to worship God the way he's prescribed in his word. We want to do that. We want to worship in the way he desires to be worshiped. And he says, I want you to come to me joyfully. I want you to come, no matter what your circumstances is, in light of me making you, in light of me recreating you, I want you to come with a joyful heart. He says he wants us to shout. To sing. To enter his gates with thanksgiving. To be thankful to him and bless his name. To enter his courts with praise. He's not only specifically inviting his people to come in, and there's a corporate aspect to it, right? He's saying, you see, the we, the us, let us gather, let we, it says, he who has made us and not we ourselves, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. There's this corporate calling, but he says, this is what I want it to look like. Now we know that when we gather, that God's word needs to be a big part of our gathering. You don't go to somebody's birthday celebration and just kind of ignore them and not hear what they have to say. We're to listen to what God has to say. We're celebrating him. He has our attention. He has our focus. He wants us to come physically into his presence. And he wants us to be impacted emotionally by what he's done. He says, make a joyful noise. I was watching Carolina Gamecocks play last night. What an amazing game that was. That was probably the best offensive output I've seen all season by any team. And I'm basically watched Clemson and Carolina and maybe a few highlighted games, but it was the best offensive game I've ever seen. And I was watching the fans just go crazy. They were just going crazy. And some of you have experienced that. Maybe you experienced it last night. Maybe you're doing that in the confinement of your home as you're watching the Gamecocks just dominate Tennessee. It was an amazing thing to see. It was an amazing thing to watch. Nobody saw it coming. The underdog taking down the giant. It was moving to watch that take place. Just a week before, I'd gone to a Clemson game to watch Clemson play Louisville. And I remember in that game, I'm shouting. And I'm trying, I'm strategizing, how can I shout effectively while the other team has the ball? That I can sustain it. Like, I hear all the noise other people making. Am I contributing at all to this? Y'all say, yeah, you are. You're so loud. But I was trying to, you know, how do I do it without getting a headache? Yeah! You know, what noise do I make coming out of my mouth? And it's just a game, really. It's a game of young men playing a sport that some of us like, some of us don't like. And yet, sometimes we come in and we're not willing to sing joyfully the songs. I picked all the songs we started with today. I did. And it was awkward a little bit, wasn't it? Okay. It was my goal for us to sing joyful songs to the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout in the joy of the voice of triumph. Praise Him. Praise Him. Remember at camp, you'd compete against each other with those songs? I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice in. I was trying to pick songs that would make us happy and glad and move us to that. And some of you experienced that, didn't you? Some of you, oh yes. Maybe some of you got lost in my awkwardness of trying to lead it. See, God is specific about how He wants us to approach Him. He wants us to approach Him more enthusiastically than we approach our favorite sports team. He wants us to approach Him more enthusiastically as far as, I'm not saying it has to show itself. I mean, I know we Presbyterians like to keep it all tight to the vest, but He wants us to be excited about what He's done. He wants us to give it thought. He wants us to give it thought about what He has done for us on our behalf. For He has made us. He gives us several reasons why. He tells us, hey, I'm inviting you, my people, my sheep, to come into my presence and to worship me the way I prescribe. Somebody said, well, David, I just can't do it. I mean, it's so early. I stayed up late celebrating Carolina last night. I just don't got it in me. I left it all out on the field. And then just be saying that, you realize the folly in that. Right? You realize the foolishness. It does take preparation to come into His worship. I had a great time of preparation this morning. We gather. Y'all are invited to do this. And we had a small amount of time, and we try to get it done quick so that some of the choir members can get here to sing and work on our song before worship. But from about 9 to 9:15, we pray. And today our prayers were filled with prayers of thanksgiving. That'll go a long way to your worship service, prepping you for His worship service. I had somebody ask me over the time that I've been here, hey, could you send me the, and I haven't done this yet, I need to do it, but can you send the verses out on a call out so we can start preparing for the worship service? I can read the scripture that you're going to preach on. I can kind of soak in it. You know, once in a while, I had this stat thing I've been doing since 2008 on Dabo Swinney's career at Clemson. Every team he's played, I mark what his record is after he plays them. I highlight the teams he's going to play. And I do it every year. I cut and paste it and update it each week. It takes about 10 minutes to update it each week. And I'll just, what's his record against Miami? What's his record against so-and-so? What's his record against this? And it's just Dabo Swinney's era. And I get excited when I look at those things and all the details of what he's done and all those things. It gets me excited about the next game coming up next week. And I know these football analogies are falling short on some of you. But that's how we ought to be with God, and more so where we're just making lists of what he's done. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, making a list. I've talked to two people in the last month that were grieving or had some hardship come their way. And instead of just being overwhelmed by the circumstance, and we all get overwhelmed, and there's nothing wrong with the grief and the overwhelmment, they were forcing themselves to write down things to be thankful for unto the Lord. That's why I said, when you come tonight, think of not only the how God has given you successes, but think of some of the trials that He's lovingly placed before you to grow you in your faith. To grow you in your acknowledgement of His presence. One of the greatest things about getting older, listen to me, one of the greatest things about getting older is all the things that you took confidence and security in, God starts to peel them away. Right? He starts to peel them away piece by piece, piece by piece. And for the guys and girls, it's different things. But He starts peeling away the things that we take security in. And He says, you're gonna see that it's Me that you need. Those things are fleeting. Those things don't last. Those friendships you think are so important that you'll do anything and you'll even dishonor Me in order to pursue these friendships. They don't last. We ought to be faithful to write down the things. That's why I'm challenging y'all tonight before you come. Think of how God has walked you through this past year. Think about the things that He's placed before you that you would not have chosen for yourself. And look for His loving hand behind it. See, God invites us, His people, to come into His worship. And He says, I want you to come with a joyful shout, all you lands. I want you to come with a servant's heart, to come to serve the Lord with gladness. You know, Thanksgiving is a neat time where you get to serve in some ways. I know a lot of times the women more so than the men, but you're serving, you're bringing family together, and you're serving the best of the food. And there's a sweetness to that. But there's a greater sweetness in serving the Lord, for with it comes gladness. I wonder why we sing in church. What's prescribed? God wants us to sing. He wants us to sing. We know about singing. I can't get my kids to stop singing at home. I've got rules. You can't sing in the kitchen. You can't sing because it's just everybody's singing a different song. Some good, some not so good in my mind. God created singing for us to sing to Him. We're to come into His presence. We're to leave all behind. We're to come into His circle. And we're to come into His presence to sing Him praises and to bless His name. He said, no. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. So He tells us why we're to worship Him these ways. Maybe I should have started with this point. He says, know Me. Know Yahweh. Know that I am God. I'm the one who made you to exist. I'm the one who recreated you to be My people. There's nothing in you that makes you the sheep of My pasture. You know, Elijah was talking about the fact of what it meant, Yahweh is God, and he said, he came to them in 1 Kings 18, he says, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. He's talking to the people of God. How long are you going to go limping between two positions? Two different opinions. If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is, then follow him. Then he went to battle, went talking about an underdog, went to battle with all these prophets of Baal. And they couldn't make a fire happen. Their God couldn't answer their prayers. But he then soaks his altar, just douses it with water. And it burned up and there's nothing left when God showed himself to be the true God. See, God made us. We're no accident. Not in our creation. For Psalm 139 says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But it was an accident that he saved us. We didn't just stumble into our salvation. It's something that God, according to Ephesians 1, wrote out before the foundation of the world. He He did the saving work, not us. We're His people. The people that will gather for Lexi's birthday will be mostly family, and then the community of her Hispanic families that are all connected in that time of worship. And those that, like others like me, who love her and care about her. But here this says, they're celebrating, they're thankful. We're His people. We're the Creator's people. We're the one who made all the things that we can get so easily led astray with. He created all these wonderful things for us. Just think about that. Think about that if you eat anything good this coming week. Think about the fact that it was your loving, creative Father in heaven that created each one of those tastes and gave you access to each one of those types of food. You think of the fact that we should worship Him. He's our shepherd, the one who Psalm 23 tells us that He provides for us. He protects us. And then He spills into how He leads us in the green pastures, and He walks us to the valley of the shadow of death, and it spills into He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. It kind of goes from the shepherding aspect to the eternal shepherd for His people. It says in verse 5 that He is good. There's so many verses that speak about God's goodness, and sometimes in our ignorance we can't understand how is this good, but one day we'll see it. We'll see every step of the way. I know for some of us, I really hope that if you've had some challenges and the Lord's walked you through this year, that you would be willing to share it tonight. With discretion, you don't have to be too vulnerable, but to share how God has been good to you through those challenges. Let me tell you, that has been the bedrock to me in some of the difficult times, was hearing people in the small churches I grew up in sharing about how God's been good to them in the challenges of their life and the difficulties. His steadfast love endures forever. It was that love that brought Jesus to us in the flesh, the Word in the flesh. It was that love that bound Him in human form. It was that love of Christ that moved Him to endure temptation and remain sinless. And it was that love that helped Him endure the cross. It was joy set before us. The last part of that verse says that His truth endures to all generations, or maybe your translation says His faithfulness endures to all generations. His word is truth, and it does endure, and it is faithful, and He's faithful to keep all the promises of the Scripture. It is to Him that we make a joyful noise, and to the Lord, it's to Him that we serve with gladness. It's to Him who made us. It is His gates that we enter with thanksgiving and bless His name. So God invites you to do that each Sunday, and as well throughout the week, but He invites you each Sunday to come and to gather with His people and to enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart and to enter His courts with praise. And to say that this is the day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these simple truths from a text. And Lord, it's an amazing thought that You would invite us into Your presence, that You would move us into Your presence, that You would call us into Your presence. And we ask that the Holy Spirit that moves us here today would move in us these joys of our salvation, this heart of gratitude for what You've given to us in all circumstances. We look at so many examples of the Scriptures where You moved this miracle in, and their contentment was in knowing Christ Jesus, not in their circumstances. And Father, we pray that we would have good thoughts about what You've done for us, and that You would move us back here tonight to share them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.